Florida State in there, I would say yes to that, what you just said.
Punt return.
Caleb Downs. And he finds a seam. He makes the punter look silly. Caleb Downs. Show him what you got. Touchdown, Bama.
5 minute drive now for UTEP. And they will keep it on the ground. Ewan just gets pile driven by Stutzman.
Really haven't even tried from the shotgun. That throw
intercepted. Pierce down the sideline. Touchdown.
Claiborne, the sophomore, has one score so far this season. Griffiths will buy a little bit of time. Falling down, lost the football. Play is still live. And recovered by the Monarchs. Lamarion James will take it the other way for the ODU touchdown.
Welcome back to Debbie IDP Grind. I'm at Hollywood Titan. I'm joined by my co-host, Justice. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, buddy. Yeah, spring practice, March Madness, lots going on in the college world today.
Yes, it is. Pardon me if I sound a little nasally or congested. My allergies are killing me, so a little off sorts here. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. I know Tennessee kicked off their spring practice. Today was their first day of practice. I think I saw that Georgia did as well. I'm sure there's a number of teams around the country that's
Like I feel like last week and then this week like is the bulk of all the spring practice starting off. And I think Missouri had their spring game this past weekend.
That sounds right.
I didn't watch it. So. Yeah, Hawaii, Liberty, Air Force have all had theirs. I'm kind of more in tune with the G5 ones, but
right.
I do know Missouri, I think, had theirs this weekend as well.
Yep, so it's official. I think when spring practices start and spring games, that kind of kicks everything off, right? Gets all the bees buzzing and birds chirping, and then it kind of goes quiet for a little bit till August. But I think it's like springs here, right? You finally see the flowers poking through the ground and blooming and all that, so it's kind of the same thing here. So we're back this week with episode 89, transfer portal coaching changes and player changes for the MAC conference. We're breaking these down each week, a different conference each week. So we're to the MAC. Before we get to that, we got some news and notes we got to run through. Looking at the rumor mill, there was a rumor out there that the Big Ten is trying to steal Texas A&M away from the SEC. I haven't seen anything else about that. But good riddance if they want to go. I wonder,
is it really the Big Ten wanting them, or is it Texas A&M trying to get away from Texas and Oklahoma? Or yeah, I don't know.
It could be. I hadn't thought of that, but it very well could be just that. That's why they left the Big 12 to start with, right? Because they were trying to get away from those two powerhouses. So,
well, they wanted to grow their brand, so to speak, right? And so, I don't know. Yeah, maybe right. It wouldn't shock me if this really isn't a Big Ten thing. It's more a Texas A&M thing. But,
and we'll get into Texas. You'll hear Texas A&M here a couple times. You know, they got a new head coach because they got rid of Jimbo Fisher and all that. So. Texas A&M's got a lot going on for this offseason. UMass, we talked about this. They are set to join the MAC conference, who we're talking about today. They're set to join the MAC in all sports starting in 2025. So next year they will be a full-fledged member of the MAC. I like the move for them. I mean, I think that's kind of where they fit. School-wise, talent-wise, you know, sport-wise, I kind of think they fit that mold of what the MAC has.
Yeah, and we include them today since they're joining the MAC. So,
right. And speaking of the MAC, they are set to induct Nick Saban into their Hall of Fame. As y'all know, he got his coaching start with Kent State and then went to Toledo. So they're going to honor him by inducting him into their Hall of Fame. No date set for when that's going to happen, but a little nod to the GOAT, if you will. You know, thoughts on that, Justice? I know you love Saban.
I don't know. I guess I get it, but it does seem a little, I don't know, a weird. But I get it.
I know we're an IDP podcast, but the 2026 arms race, and literally the arms race, is in full swing. I was looking for some recruiting news, and everything you see right now is all the top teams, even the smaller teams, right? They are looking at the 2026 class, and there is a plethora of quarterbacks that has got visits set up or has offers in hand. So, you know, like Tennessee, we have Nico for this year. We have George McIntyre for next year in the 2025. We're already looking for 2026 too. And I think that's what you get with these top teams. They want a top quarterback for every single year. So if somebody leaves, you know, then they've got their next guy ready to roll. As I said, I was looking for recruiting news. Not going to go through all that because really right now it's players taking visits, even the big guys like a Zion Grady in this class. You know, he's back at Georgia again, but there's really no commitments right now as these recruits are taking visits and enjoying their summer because their season for high school will be here pretty soon within a few months. So, you know, not a lot going on. The only one I could find was a four-star safety, Tony Williams, and he's committed to UCF. Pretty good player from what I've seen. I'll have to dig into him a little better, but really he's the only one that's committed here, four stars and above. He's really been the only one that I've saw that's committed. And then, again, I know we're IDP, but running back Jerome Bettis Jr. is following in his father's footsteps, and he has committed to Notre Dame, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, I think it, as a player like that, anytime you get to go play for a school or a team where your father played, I think that's pretty neat. So looks like the Irish are going to get another battering ram there with the name Bettis in it. I haven't watched much of him. Are you high on him as a recruit?
I thought he was a receiver, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I know I sent you guys.
I'll double check that.
Yeah, he's a receiver. He's a wide receiver.
My bad.
6'3". Well,
are you still high on him?
I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I don't either. So
other than, you know, he's Jerome Bettis' kid. So.
Right. Speaking of Notre Dame, they fall into this next one. The 10 FBS conferences and Notre Dame finalized a new $1.3 billion television contract for the college football playoff with ESPN. The new contract is expected to pay the Big Ten and the SEC 29% of the upcoming contract. And this is reported by CBS Sports. Which works out to approximately $22 million per school. The ACC will receive 17%, which is $13 to $14 million per school, and the Big 12 will sit around 15%, which is $12 million per school. The numbers represent a raise across the board as well for all Power 5 institutions. Receive approximately $5 million per school in the previous contract. So that's quite the step up for them. The group of five will split the remaining 9% of the contract. But the number may not be split evenly, they're saying. So
I wonder how they're going to split it.
Well, it says the independent schools will split 1% while Notre Dame will get the bulk.
Well, there's only two independent schools.
So
it's Notre Dame and Connecticut.
Yeah, so I guess Notre Dame's going to get $12 million of that 1%, and then the rest are table
stakes. I wouldn't even assume UConn gets – Notre Dame's going to get the overwhelming majority of that.
Which –
If you got the whole group of five only splitting, what, I don't even know what the 9% is. Let's see, what did you say? $1.3 billion. Let's do some math here real quick.
Oh yeah, so you're getting, that's 46, 61,
117 million. If I did my math right,
yeah, roughly, yeah,
total.
Right, which I don't really agree with this as far as Notre Dame.
That doesn't seem right. Maybe I'm asked wrong.
I get Notre Dame's a national brand, a powerhouse, a contender. But I don't think it's fair for them to really sit out there by themselves and command this or demand that when you've got all the other teams in the country pretty much in a conference, right? They play for a conference championship, you know, all that. And Notre Dame just kind of gets to sit back and say, well, we'll do what we want, but we still want a big piece of pie. Not my decision. If it was up to me, I'd make them join a conference. I'd say, okay, you want a bigger piece of this pie, or you want this part of the pie, then guess what? You better find you a conference to join, because if you don't, it ain't happening. So just kind of where I stand on that.
So that was right. If I mean, I don't know exactly how many group of five teams there are, but there's roughly 60. So if it was split evenly, it'd be like 1.95 million per team.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
So maybe like you said, Notre Dame will get 11 million and Connecticut will get a million or something, or 10. Or
yeah. Now, while they did agree on this contract extension, there is no agreement on the expanded playoffs, because everybody knows we're at 12. They're talking of going to 14. There was no movement that I saw on the last little bit of that. Not to say that that won't change going forward.
Kind of like right now, we haven't even had the 12 playoff yet, and they're already like going to change it to 15. I don't know, man. Interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Coming up on April 18th, which is what, basically a month from today, the NCAA Rules Committee is expected to approve some new rules for college football. One of them is going to be in-helmet communication, which they expect to cut down or limit some of the sign stealing that's been going on. Another rule is the 2-minute timeouts at the end of each half. They're expected to vote that in. They're also expected to vote in tablet usage on the sidelines. So they're kind of following the NFL model, but they said they're going to allow up to 18 tablets between the booth and the sideline. And then there's a 15-yard horse collar tackle penalty within the tackle box. I need to dig on that some more, but that's expected to go through. And then there's one that's a uniform violation that's expected to go through. They didn't clarify what that was. It's just a uniform violation with the penalty being either a loss of a timeout, and if you don't have a timeout, then there's a 5-yard penalty. So well, I mean,
there's already been penalties on the books for uniform violations, but usually, like, you only see them when they're kind of like gross violations. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the rule book says, like, the pants have to come below the knee. And, like, and if you look, like, in the last few years, like, they don't ever enforce that rule. So maybe
they don't even wear pads below the knees anymore.
Right, anymore. So I don't know, like, if that's going to be part of it or not. I know there's things like that, like, the pants are supposed to be below the knee, they for the most part, they don't do it anymore. But the referees don't enforce it either. So I don't know if those are the kind of tweaks they're talking about, or, you know, in terms of violations or what. I mean, you know, there certainly are, there are rules about colors and like specifically the numbers. And so I can't remember, but I want to say within the last like 2 years, there was a school, and I can't remember if it was, you know, Division One, Division Two, whatever, but there was an issue with their numbers. They were in violation of the rule, and they got issued a penalty because of it. So I'm not really sure what they're talking about there, but that's kind of interesting. Have to look into that more.
Kind of they didn't really divulge what the violation was. So I guess that's something they're going to kind of go over. But all five of those rules are expected to go in April the 18th without any pushback. So a few little changes. The radio communication, I agree with. The tablet usage, I agree with. I mean, anything to help these guys out and make it a better game, I'm for. The two-minute timeouts, I could go either way with it, take it or leave it. And then the uniform violation and the horse collar tackle penalty, we'll just have to see. NCAA's been busy. They're also pausing all of their investigations into third-party NIL deals after their loss to Tennessee and Virginia in the courts. So they basically said, we're just stopping all investigations right now. So you're welcome, college football. We carried you yet again.
I mean, it's all kind of, I think, headed to where, you know, these lawsuits have kind of backed the NCAA into various corners. And, right. You know, on one hand, they say, well, they're not employees. Okay, well, then you can't tell them they can't transfer. You know, and then if you say they are employees, well, then employees, you know, then it's a non-compete. So, I mean, it's just, they've kind of been backed into a corner, I feel like, because of their own lack of inaction. But, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of brought it on.
Kind of come to a head soon, I think, right?
Yeah, it's going to come to a head, and I think they're going to be on the losing end of it, at least the way it's trending right now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're caught in a catch-22 situation. Whichever way they go, there's going to be implications that the NCAA probably doesn't want.
Right. Trev Alberts is leaving Nebraska to become Texas A&M's new athletic director. We talked about them with a new head coach and maybe leaving the SEC rumors, and now they got a new athletic director. So, Trev Alberts is set to take over there, and I think they have a game, a basketball game in the women's side, I believe it is.
No, the men. The men are playing each other.
The men?
In March Madness.
So, yeah, that'll be
interesting. They got matched up first round. it's an 8-9 matchup, I believe.
Fox is set to air a package of games on Friday nights. They didn't say how many. It just
says, well, I think it's every Friday night. I think it's every Friday night.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just one or if they're going to try to do like an early late game.
I think it's just one. I remember Mountain West is one of the conferences. I don't remember the other two. The other two were Power Five, but Mountain West was the G5 that was in that group. I want to say Big 12, but I don't remember who the other one is.
So more football for us on Friday nights. Which we already kind of had games on Friday nights once the season got rolling.
Yeah, they just usually weren't on Fox.
Start to finish. Yeah.
I want to say CBS Sports usually had a Mountain West game. Sometimes you know have other games on ESPN.
Right. We talked about this in our last episode, that there was a possible change for the early signing period, and that has happened. So the early 3-day signing period has moved up 3 weeks from where it's at, which is mid-December, like the 17th or somewhere in there. It's now moving to the Wednesday after Thanksgiving weekend. So as soon as Thanksgiving weekend is over, that following Wednesday, that's going to start the 3-day early signing period where recruits can sign. I kind of like that. It kind of gets you if you're a coach, I know you love it, right? Because you're if your team's in a bowl game or the playoffs, you're trying to get ready, and that allows you to not have to focus on the recruiting, you know, trying to get a kid signed right in the middle of that. So
I think the biggest thing, right, is it with the portal, like, is it kind of, I guess, helps them with that, you know, managing that.
Yeah, because there was an overlap with that too. So yeah, that does, because I think that window opens up the 1st of December or somewhere right there. So it kind of overlaps. Yeah. So yeah, it does help with that. EA Sports announced that over 10,000 athletes have accepted their NIL deal for the college video game, which is $600 per player and a copy of the game. That's quite a chunk. That's it, what, 6 million if my math is right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just at 10,000 and they slaying over. So that's 6 million.
That's got to be close to, I mean, that's a lot of the players, right? You assume, what, 85 guys times 133?
Uh-huh. Something
like that. That's 11,305 players. So that's pretty close to the majority of the guys.
That's probably what, 90%, I guess, roughly.
Yeah, I mean, a little higher, maybe. Yeah, the only one that has not that I've heard declined was Arch Manning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only one I've heard too. So I can't imagine that these guys would turn that down. I mean, it's free money for something you're already doing anyway. So why not? Get it, right? Speaking of money, Johnny Manziel. We talked about, you know, he received the offer, or his dad had an offer for him to stay for another 2 years, blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's saying that he's not even going to attend any Heisman ceremonies at all until the Heisman committee gives Reggie Bush his trophy back. So, and at this point, they should. I mean, what does it matter? I mean, everybody recognizes him as the Heisman Trophy from that year anyway. Just interesting. Manziel's popped up the last few weeks in the news.
He's just trying to stay relevant, I guess, right? I mean, I don't know what
a hell. Must be. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, wow, he's really keeping himself out there. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Trophy Smack, Action 24/7, and My Fantasy League. My Fantasy League, they compass the leagues for our listener leagues. We thank them for that. Trophy Smack donates rings to our listener league winners. Nice quality stuff. We've showed you each and every week those rings. I'm actually mailing those out this week to last year's winner, so those will be on the way. And then Action 24/7 is a locally owned gambling site by Tennesseans for Tennesseans. I was just on there last night looking at some odds for the basketball tournament coming up, and they've completely redone their site. It looks so good right now. So you need to go check that out. Easy to use. Use the promo code Hollywood100 when you make your deposit, and they'll match you up to $400. And go check out Dubby.com. It's a all-natural energy drink, no sugars, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors. It's all natural. Tastes really good. It's a powder you mix like water packets. And, man, it'll really perk you up when you need a pick-me-up. So go check them out. We thank them for being our sponsors. And when you go to use the Dubby, you can use IDP Nation. Promo code, and they'll give you 10% off of your order. So anytime you help our sponsors, you're helping us. So we thank you for that. So go check them out. And now we're ready for our main event, or our five-star topic, as it was. So as I told you, each week we are breaking down one conference, any transfer portal issues, players coming in and out. And we're also doing the coaching changes, right, on the defensive side. So I'll start with the coaching changes, and then Justice will do the player changes. We'll get started. We'll go alphabetically with Akron. There was no coaching changes at this time for their coaching staff.
All right. So player-wise, they lose linebacker. Well, they have one coming in. They do have one quarterback coming in. I mean, one coach coming in, defensive coach coming in, Trey Bell, cornerbacks coach. I'm sorry, out. He left, not coming
He's
in.
He's going out, yes.
Yeah, going out off to West Virginia as an analyst. But anyway, moving on to players. So they lose linebacker Corey Thomas over to Virginia, cornerback Tyson Durant over to Washington State, and they bring in safety Damon Davis over from Oregon. In terms of last year's guys, they return their top four tacklers from a year ago. So good news there. Their top two tacklers, linebackers Antavius Fish and Brian McCoy, both with over 80 tackles apiece, coming back for that defense. So, yeah, they don't lose a ton of production. And they don't, you know, other than Davis, they don't really bring anyone else in of note. I'm not sure that anybody here is, you know, rostered on any rosters. But, you know, it might be worth, you know, kind of looking at maybe Fish or McCoy if you're kind of, you need, maybe need a bye week filler at the linebacker spot.
Nice. Next is Ball State Cardinals. They did have a few changes. So for them, on the way out is Adam Morse, their defensive line coach. He's moving to Buffalo, same position. Tyler Stockton, their defensive coordinator, is moving to Boise State to be the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. And then incoming is going to be Jeff Knowles, defensive coordinator and inside linebackers. He was at Butler as a defensive coordinator. And then you've got Anthony Shakir, who's going to be coaching the defensive line. He was formerly at Tennessee Chattanooga as the D-line coach. Then you have Daryl Perkins, who's going to coach the cornerbacks, and he was formerly at Syracuse in the same position as the defensive backs coach.
All right. So they do lose quite a bit of players there. They lose edge Tavion Woodard, who is over to Boise State, one of their top options, tacklers, and defensive back safety. Jordan Riley is off to Kansas State. Linebacker Cole Pierce is out of eligibility. They lose six of their top seven tacklers. They do bring in a George Udo coming over from Cincinnati, and that's a safety, and linebacker Norman Massey coming over from UL Monroe. But yeah, they lose quite a bit there along, you know, in terms of tackle production. They do return their number one tackler, Keontae Newsome, linebacker who had 80 tackles last year. But then after him, man, like they lose the next, top six guys. You know, two linebackers, two DBs, and a defensive lineman all out of eligibility. So, you know, they definitely have some work to do there in terms of replacing that production, which is, you know, probably the reason why I believe they brought in Norman Massey, who did have 32 tackles last year for UL Monroe. You know, kind of hard to say at this point, who else will, kind of step up. But I mean, if you're, again, probably no one here you're rostering, but if you are looking at someone, it'd probably be Keontae Newsome, who had 80 total tackles last year. And there he was the leading tackler.
Yeah. Udo's a little interesting. He's, so this is going to be like a super senior year for him. Cause he played 4 years for BYU. Then he played last year for Cincinnati. Looks like back in 2020 was probably his best year so far. 25 tackles, 5.5 for a loss, 3 sacks. So he hasn't been much of a factor since then, but maybe a change of scenery and an opportunity with Ball State will help him here.
Well, and, you know, their guys, like I said, they got to replace Jordan Riley, who was
– right.
probably roster in some leagues last year. As a defensive back, he did have 61 tackles a year ago, so they're going to have to replace that that production. They also lost Azarik Mallory, another defensive back who had 54 tackles. So, yeah, I mean, Udo certainly should have an opportunity to step up for them.
Yep. Up next is Bowling Green. So on the way out, as far as coaches goes, Julian Campanini, their defensive line coach, he is leaving to go to Rutgers to coach their defensive ends. And then coming in to replace him is going to be Cornell Brown, who was – his last job was with the New Orleans Breakers, coaching the defensive line. And if I remember, they had a pretty decent defense last year for the Breakers. I mean, in that league, I mean, he did a pretty good job. So, be interesting to see how he comes in and makes that – or helps the defensive line get better there. So, that's the coaching changes for Bowling Green Falcons.
And I'm assuming that – I'm just trying to – just looking it up. That's Cornell Brown from – he was in the NFL for a while. He played college football as All-American at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I believe it's that same Cornell Brown. So, yeah, good lineage there.
Good pickup for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
They lose edge Cassius Howe off to Texas A&M. I know this next one's going to break Hollywood's heart because he's a Hollywood favorite. Linebacker Darren Anders is out of eligibility. Like he was there forever. They lose three of their top four tacklers, Anders being the number one tackler. They do bring in linebacker Justin Eklund over from San Jose State. And this one kind of surprises me because this guy has been productive in the past for college fantasy purposes. Safety C.J. Brown coming over from Northern Illinois. They lose, they lose linebacker Darren Anders, cornerback Jalen Husky, and cornerback Devon Ferguson, who were three of their top four tacklers. As far as returnees, returning linebacker Joseph Sipp Jr. does return. He's their second leading tackler last year with 73 tackles. But, C.J. Brown in the past was a high tackler, not so much last year for Northern Illinois, but, the previous years, he was a pretty productive guy. And, Eklund is someone else that, can kind of come help fill the loss of Darren Anders. So those are two guys that kind of, kind of pay attention to, maybe see how spring practice goes and see if they make any noise early on in the season.
Yeah, Brown was a 100-plus tackle guy back in 2021 for the Huskies. He had 107, so, and then he followed it up with 76. And then did he get hurt last year? Because he only played three games. I'm assuming that's what happened.
I'm not sure.
So maybe that was the reason for the big drop-off last year. But, yeah, I mean, if they could get him on in the lineup, he's proven that he can produce. And, yeah, sad to see Darren Anders go. Like you said, it did seem like he'd been around for 100 years. So it's hard to believe that we can't find him another year of eligibility with all the hardships and medical stuff that's going on in COVID years. There's got to be another year somewhere. The Buffalo Bulls are up next. So they had quite a few changes as far as their coaching staff goes. On the way out is Maurice Linguist, their head coach. He's moving to Alabama and going to be the co-defensive coordinator there. Robert Wright, their defensive coordinator, he's going to Syracuse to help to coach the linebackers. And Kevin Corliss, linebackers coach, he was fired. So he's not landed anywhere at this time. Coming in to replace them is going to be Pete Limbo, the head coach, as the head coach. And he's coming over from South Carolina, where he was a special teams coordinator. You've got Joe Bowen, who's going to be his new defensive coordinator, if I could talk, sorry. And he's coming over from Miami of Ohio, where he was the linebackers coach. You've got Adam Morris, who's going to coach the defensive line. He's coming over from Ball State, who we just mentioned. Brian Daugherty is going to coach safeties, and he's coming over from the University of Indianapolis, where he was formerly a defensive coordinator there. So, like we've said in some of these other ones, anytime the head coach is moved, fired, moves on, goes to the NFL, whatever, anytime you have a head coaching change, there's usually a slew of position coaches change with him. So it looks like Buffalo is going to have a whole new look as far as their coaching staff.
Kind of interesting. I mean, I haven't – have you seen anything that says I'm assuming Lindquist at least got the same money, possibly a raise going to Alabama, but I haven't seen any details on that. I don't
surely know he got a raise.
Yeah, I mean, because we know
that – I haven't seen anything, but –
We know Georgia State.
Yeah, I would have to imagine he got a hefty raise.
Yeah, Georgia State, Sean Elliott went to be the tight ends coach of South Carolina, and he didn't really get a raise. He got essentially the same amount of money. Got to assume he got a raise there going to be the defensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. They do. The Bulls lose a ton of last year's production and you know, just solid defensive players. They lose edge Tyler Lang off to Florida Atlantic. This guy was hurt pretty much all of last year, but the year before was absolute stud. Sean Dolak, he entered the portal, and he's off to Utah State. Hollywood favorite safety Devin Grant is off to Syracuse. Last year's leading tackler, linebacker Joe Andreessen, is out of eligibility. And defensive lineman Max Michel is also out of eligibility. In terms of what they're bringing in, defensive lineman Tristan Souza coming over from Washington State. Marcus Fuqua, their safety, their other starting safety, he does return as well, so that'll help. But you know, they got to rebuild that linebacking group, losing Andreessen, and then certainly you know Dolak, who was maybe he was All-American, honorable mention the year before, was hurt all of last year. They got to replace those two guys. They got some linebackers returning in Deion Crawford and Red Murdoch. They haven't brought anyone in through the portal. So, you know, it's probably one to pay attention kind of in the spring to see, first few games of the fall to kind of see who's stepping up there at linebacker and even safety for him. But,
Fuqua, that's a tough blow for them to lose that much production, basically right up the gut of your defense, right? You're losing two linebackers and a safety, and all three of them were, especially Grant and Dolak, right? They were IDP Devy darlings for a lot of people. I know I had them rosters in some places. Andreessen was a good linebacker for them, too. Of course, he's out of eligibility, but still, when you're losing three key pieces to your defense like that, that's a little concerning. But maybe with a new coaching staff, they can put some different eyes on it and kind of get some players in maybe through the portal or whatever to help fill the gap. So, yeah. Let's see here. Where we at? Oh, yeah. Up next is Central Michigan Chippewas, and they did not have any coaching changes defensively.
Player changes, they lose defensive lineman Quindario Lee over to Houston. Linebacker Kyle Moretti is in the portal with no destination as of now. Safety Trey Jones is off to Texas A&M. And they bring in a couple of big names from the Power Five. They bring in linebacker Nolan Ziegler, who was a high-level recruit for Notre Dame. He's coming over. And quarterback Brendan, I don't want to butcher his name, Diaz Fernandez over from Iowa. So, you know, they bring in two Power Five guys. Ziegler, certainly for our purposes here, the most interesting one. They lost Kyle Moretti. They also lose defensive back Trey Jones. They are both with their two leading tacklers a year ago. So, yeah, I mean, Ziegler, someone who came to Notre Dame with a lot of expectations, and I guess just never really panned out for the Fighting Irish. Definitely someone to kind of keep an eye on here for the Central Michigan Chippewa defense. I mean, their leading tackler last year was 61 tackles. That's certainly not something you want to be rostering in a college fantasy league. But maybe Ziegler can give him a little more punch there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering why Ziegler is leaving Notre Dame, because, you know, they got Bertrand is off to the NFL. I forget the other linebacker's name. He's off to the NFL. So I wonder if it's kind of one of them. He sees the writing on the wall that he's not getting playing time with Irish and wanted to move on, or if, you know, they kind of told him, hey, if you want to explore possibilities, you might want to go on. So
it's got to be, because, like you said, Notre Dame has some opportunity at linebacker. So the fact that he left, I guess he just felt like, hey, he wasn't going to be one of those guys that got that opportunity.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting to me. I think I skipped too far here. Up next is Eastern Michigan Eagles. And coming in, they have Casey T. Garden, who's going to be their special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach. And he's coming over from Indiana, where he was the special teams coordinator there. And that's their only defensive coaching change at this time.
They lose quite a bit of production just out of eligibility, but they lose defensive lineman Mike Coleman to Cincinnati, cornerback Kempton Shine over to Virginia. But probably the big blow, they lose their top two tacklers and guys that at least the first one was definitely rostered in a lot of leagues. Linebacker Joe Sparacio is out of eligibility, and linebacker Chase Klein, they're both out of eligibility. Sparacio had 139 tackles a year ago, and Chase Klein had 124. So they definitely got to rebuild that linebacker room. Guys that are bringing in, edge, James Jonkin coming over from Arizona State. Linebacker JT Killen coming over from Coastal Carolina. And linebacker Luke Murphy coming over from Kent State. The one that probably excites me the most is JT Killen. He was kind of an all-conference type performer for Coastal there in the Sun Belt. Good linebacker. I certainly expect him to kind of be the man for Eastern Michigan and kind of take over that middle linebacker role and likely lead them in tackles this coming season.
Yeah, that's the one I was wanting to comment as well. Looks like he had 96 tackles in 2022 and then 68 last year. But he did a little better in coverage. He had an interception that he returned for a touchdown, some PBUs. So a huge get for them. But also, I think this is huge news for our boy Shea Taylor that we interviewed a few months ago, right?
Shea's at Ohio, not Eastern Michigan.
It is Ohio. Why am I thinking Coastal Carolina?
I don't know. we'll get to Shea Taylor eventually here, if you give us a minute.
Yeah. But, that's a good pickup for them. Huge blow for Carolina. That's a lot of production that they've got to replace. Let's see here. Up next is Kent State. Coaching changes. C.J. Cox, their cornerbacks coach, is leaving. He's going to UAB to coach the safeties. You've got Colin Farrell, their defensive line coach, and he's moving to Rutgers to coach the same position. Coming in to replace them, you're going to have Bill Terlinick. He's going to coach the defensive line. Hope I don't butcher this name, but Spencer Remiziski is going to be their new special teams coordinator and cornerbacks coach, and he's coming over from Wisconsin, where he was an analyst for the Badgers. So a couple changes for them. Coaching changes for them defensively.
So Kent State loses defensive lineman Maceo Williams off to Utah State. Linebacker, who you just mentioned a minute ago, Luke Murphy, is off to Eastern Michigan. Cornerback Capone Blue to Wake Forest. And safety Bryce Shepherd is out of eligibility. They bring in edge Cameron Olds coming over from Buffalo, linebacker Luke Fulton from Kentucky, and safety Malcolm Folk coming over from Syracuse. Bryce Shepherd, who's out of eligibility and safety, was their leading tackler a year ago with 75 total tackles. They do return Nick Giacconi, linebacker who had 50 total tackles, their second leading tackler, and then defensive lineman Stephen Daly, who was their third leading tackler with 47 from a year ago. You know, not really anyone here that I feel like is worthy of being rostered from a fantasy production standpoint, at least at this point. So, maybe, you know, kind of have to see how they perform in the new year.
All right. Next is UMass Minutemen. They had a coaching change. They're bringing in Stephen Tyrell to coach the defensive line. And he was the former director of football operations for them. So he's just making a position switch there. So that's the only coaching change that they had at this time.
As far as players lost, probably the biggest impact is defensive tackle Billy Wooden, who is out of eligibility.
He's a beast.
Possibly getting drafted in the NFL draft. So they lose him. That's a big loss for them. They do bring in defensive lineman Edenosa Rubin from Georgia Tech, edge Jalen Hudson from Wake Forest, and cornerback Ryan Barnes coming over from Notre Dame. They returned their top three leading tacklers from a year ago. That was Tarai Powell, a defensive back who had 59 tackles, Najee Logan, linebacker, 59 tackles, and Jarrell Johnson, linebacker, 51 tackles. So, again, Billy Wooden is someone that might have been rostered just because, you know, of his talent and his production. He did have 50 total tackles last year. And I want to say Tyler Rudolph, the safety, I think he had like a big first week. And then he had like double-digit tackles. But he only ended up with 40 tackles on the season. He's returning as a safety there. So not really anyone that I'm overly interested in rostering.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Now, this next team, they have quite a few players, I think, that are worth rostering. And that's the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. As far as coaching changes, Joe Bowen, their linebackers coach, he's moving to Buffalo to be their new defensive coordinator. And then they're bringing in Mitchell White to coach their cornerbacks, and he was formerly at Utah State at the same position. So losing a linebackers coach and brought in a corners coach is their main two changes on defense.
So their two losses, I think, are two pretty big ones. The biggest being edge Caden Woolard, going over to Oklahoma, led them in sacks last year, I think, with 9.5 or 10 sacks, something like that. So that'd be a big blow to their pass rush. They also lose defensive back Michael Dow, who is out of eligibility. They bring in edge Mondrell Dean, coming over from Purdue, but they do return their top two leading tacklers. And the first one we've talked about numerous times. Unfortunately, he doesn't have defensive back eligibility anymore. He did for a while there.
Right.
Matthew Salopic, their leading tackler a year ago, linebacker with 137 total tackles. Up until last year, he had eligibility as a defensive back or a linebacker in Fantrax. But last year, they changed it to just linebacker. And then his running mate there, Ty Wise, also rosterable, 122 total tackles last year. So those are probably the two guys you're looking at for Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, Wise is a little bit better as far as pass rushing. He's a little bit more kind of the off-ball linebacker, you know, who can rush the passer. And so Lopik, he's just a tackle-eating machine, man. If it comes his way, he's on it. So, yeah, those are definitely two that you want to have rostered for your IDP rosters. And then losing Woolard, And I'm looking at Sports Reference, so this may be off a little bit, but it says 9.5 sacks, 12 TFLs to go with 41 tackles. So that's a pretty good loss for them. Is Brian Ugwu still there?
Yeah, he's
a junior. Out of eligibility?
He's a junior, so he should still be there.
So he, yeah, so that's another one that if you're looking for a defensive lineman, I would kind of look at him. Because with Woolard out of the way, he may pick up that role. Because he had 62 tackles, 12 for a loss, and 8 sacks last year. So
it could also go the other way, too. With Woolard being gone, like they concentrate on him more, and his numbers could go down as well. More double teams for him.
Yeah, and I guess it just depends on who they can get to fill Woolard's role to alleviate some of the double teams and attention that he might get. But, yeah. Definitely Salopic and Wise are two that you should be trying to roster for your teams. Northern Illinois Huskies. They didn't have any defensive coaching changes as of now, so I think they're content with what they have for this year. They don't typically, that I can remember, they haven't been one that's typically had a lot of changes as far as coaching staff, unless somebody just kind of, you know, moves on for a better, greener pasture, which hasn't happened a lot that I know of with them.
So they lose edge George Gums Jr. Off to Florida, safety Devin Lafayette over to Troy, safety C.J. Brown, we mentioned earlier, off to Bowling Green. Linebacker Tyler Jackson is out of eligibility. They're not really bringing anyone of note. They do return, bringing back anyone through the portal of note, I should say. They do return their leading linebacker, Jaden Dolphin, last year, 64 total tackles. Defensive end, Rasheen Thomas returns. You know, if you're looking at someone, maybe Thomas and Dolphin would be guys, particularly Thomas as a defensive lineman. But not a whole lot there. We said they lost C.J. Brown. Their top defensive back a year ago was Deron Gilbert with 52 tackles, and Nate Vaccari with 47 tackles. So they weren't producing the hundred tackles that C.J. Brown did, but maybe one of them steps up this year, not sure.
Yep, for sure.
Now we can talk about Shea Taylor.
Yeah, now, well, I see why I jumped the gun now, because I see the player that I had in my head. For some reason, I thought it was the other guy, but we'll get to that. They had no coaching changes, so I'll let you go ahead and talk about it. But I see the player now that I was like, oh, that's who it is. But,
So the big loss is their top two linebackers. They lose Key Thompson off to Pittsburgh. Linebacker Bryce Houston is out of eligibility. And safety Walter Reynolds is out of eligibility. That was their top three tacklers from a year ago. In the portal, they bring in edge C.J. Doggett coming from Cincinnati and linebacker Colby Garfield coming over from East Carolina. Their top returning tackler is Austin Brawley, a safety who had 41 tackles a year ago, and Adonis Williams Jr., also a safety who had 40 tackles a year ago. So they got to replace two linebackers that were rostered probably in most leagues, and Bryce Houston and Key Thompson. And, you know, we interviewed Shea Taylor back, I guess, in December. It was after the bowl game. Maybe it was early January. And he's certainly someone that we expect to take over one of those two roles. Just from talking with him, he didn't really seem to indicate one or the other, right? Because he's kind of done both.
Right.
Kind of played the middle linebacker, kind of played the outside guy that can also rush a little bit. I guess if I had to guess, my guess is he's going to take over, not necessarily to quote the middle linebacker, but more of that, you know, the outside kind of edge rush guy.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well, I mean, and Key Thompson was the one, because I was trying to remember our interview, and he said, you know, I don't know what he's deciding to do yet. So with him leaving, that opened up another hole because we kind of thought Houston was already out of eligibility. But that kind of what we saw in the bowl game, right? The big plays from Shea Taylor where he blitzed with the little crossover, got the huge sack, had a forced fumble in the game. He was a big impact for them. And one of the major reasons that I felt like they won that game was his impact. And, you know, Thompson didn't play, so he got the shine there. So I think Shea Taylor, if you're looking for somebody, you know, that you could probably pick up cheap, maybe not after you hear this show, but, you know, if you're in some other leagues, you might be able to pick him up cheap. And I think he's really going to help your IDP Debbie rosters because I think it's going to be his time to shine. So can't wait to watch him play. And if you haven't seen it, go check out our interview with Shea Taylor. It's over on our YouTube page. And while you're there, give us a subscription and a like and a review there. So, but yeah, go check that out. I like that opportunity for him. Young guy that's got at least 2 years of eligibility left. I think he was a freshman last year. So he's going to have at least two more years of eligibility where you can keep him on your rosters. Up next is the Toledo Rockets. And like some of these other teams, they did not have any coaching changes at this time either defensively.
In terms of personnel, they lose cornerback R.J. Delancey III going off to Wisconsin. Linebacker Dallas Gant, their leading tackler linebacker, out of eligibility. Cornerback Quinyon Mitchell, you know, if you don't know who he is, he's off the NFL. Going to be a first-round draft pick. Quite possibly the first cornerback off the board. Lose him. They lose defensive tackle Judge Culpepper, who is also out of eligibility. They bring in linebacker Lance Dixon, coming from West Virginia, and cornerback Jadarius Perkins, coming over from Florida. As I mentioned, they lose the leading tackler Dallas Gant, who had 114 tackles last year, but they do return their second leading tackler, linebacker Daniel Bolden, who had 94 tackles a year ago. And then a favorite of ours in the past, who kind of had a disappointing year last year, also returns, and that's safety Maxon Hook. Last year, he had 69 tackles, which is kind of a down year for him. So maybe he can get things going again this year.
Yeah, Hook was definitely a darling for IDP Debbie a couple of years ago. So like you said, hopefully after a down year, he'll rebound. Dallas Gant is a big loss for IDP Debbie too, because if I'm not mistaken, he had that dual eligibility where you could play him as a defensive back and in some leagues. So losing a player where you could, what we call cheat codes, right? That kind of hurts when you have that type of a flexibility player, because it fills multiple positions. Right? You play him at linebacker or corner or safety, wherever you need him. And instead of having three players to fill three spots, you can use one sort of to fill all three. So hate to see those top players go. But in college, there's always players that have that. So if you look, you'll find them. But, yeah, I like to see Maxon Hook bounce back for sure. I think I have him in a few places. Quinyon Mitchell, he's going to go early, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it would shock me he's the first cornerback.
Yeah, and I don't know that I like him as the first cornerback in this class, but everything seems to be pointing towards him, especially after the Senior Bowl and now the Combine and all this. His arrow is skyrocketing. So, and they're going to miss Judge Culpepper too. 10.5 yeah. tackles for a loss and 9 sacks. That's going to be a big blow to their defense up front. So, be curious to see who fills that role as well. I mean, I know our buddy Sal's always asking us, what positions or what teams? Well, Toledo, look and see who's going to fill that role, because that might be your next defensive lineman, right? So, especially in the MAC where, how do I want to say it? The MAC is kind of a conference where numbers are – your stats make your talent look a little inflated, if that makes sense, just because of the style and the way they play. You know, if it was the SEC and him getting those numbers, I'd be like, you know, he's a legit player. And I'm not saying he's not. I just think that conference is not where the SEC is. So sometimes when you see those heavy stats, you got to kind of look and see where they're playing, who they're playing, and all that. So, yeah, that's a big blow for them for sure. And our final team is going to be Western Michigan Broncos. So on the way out is going to be Lou Esposito, their defensive coordinator, and he's moving to Memphis to coach the defensive line. Robert Bala is leaving as well. He was a defensive coordinator, and he's going to move to Washington, who's got a new coaching staff, and he's going to be their inside linebackers coach. And then coming in to replace them, you're going to have Scott Power, who was a defensive coordinator for Western Michigan. To be their defensive coordinator, and he was from Western Michigan where he coached linebackers. You got Jeff Popovich coming in to be a co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. He's also from Western Michigan where he was their special teams coordinator. And then you're going to have Brandon Lacey coming in to coach defensive ends, and he was from Southern Miss where he formerly coached defensive line.
All right, players, they lose a big one, man. Another guy that's going to get drafted here in about a month, defensive lineman Marshawn Nealand, out of eligibility.
Yep.
They lose linebacker Nate Norris out of eligibility. But they're bringing in some guys that had my interest piqued a little bit. The first one we've talked about on this show when he was coming in as a freshman, we all kind of looked at his tape and shared our thoughts on him. And that's Edge, Popeye Williams, coming over from Louisville. Things didn't work out for him at Louisville. Be interesting to see kind of like what he can do here in the MAC for Western Michigan. Edge, Rodney McGraw, also coming over from Louisville. Defensive lineman, Ontario Thompson, coming over from Iowa. And linebacker, Dominic Moon, coming over from Purdue. They do return their top four leading tacklers, led by safety Tate Halleck, who had 75 total tackles a year ago. Second leading tackler, Aaron Wolford, cornerback with 72 returns. And then their two linebackers, Damari Roberson and Jacob Wahlberg with 68 and 65 tackles also return. The Popeye Williams one's got me intrigued a little bit, right? Kind of interested to see what he can kind of do for Western Michigan. He's someone I think we had high hopes for at Louisville. Didn't work out for him there because of very excited to see what Popeye can do here in the MAC.
Yeah, and as you was reading those off, I think, you know, I ain't going to say the main reason, but I think it's a big reason that you kind of seen Popeye Williams and Rodney McGraw both leave Louisville is because Tyler Barron, who transferred from Tennessee, right? So he's going to be one of their new edges, and maybe they saw that as a lost opportunity for them. Maybe both of them saw it that way. So. But I guess that's the one thing I like about the portal is when a player transfers in, how does these, I call them kids, but these young men, how do they view that, right? We're talking here like Popeye and Rodney. Did they see Tyler Barron as a threat to their playing time and said, you know, we need to go somewhere else? Or
they could have been
something entirely different.
I didn't look at the dates, but they could have entered before Barron ever committed. I don't know, you know. But maybe they just felt like they weren't going
to get it. Well, he's been committed for a little while, so I kind of found that a little interesting. I'm like you. I'd have to go back and look at the dates. But even still, it just it intrigues me to what that thought process is. So, so that does it for the MAC. Quite a few changes, actually, as far as coaching changes.
Quite a few losses, too.
Next week, we're going to – Well, true. Yeah, very. So the MAC is going to look completely different, I think, from what we're used to seeing. Plus, they got a new. They're going to have a new team next year with UMass coming in. So I always loved watching the MAC Tuesdays and all that, MACtion and all that. So, and you know, they've produced some pretty good players over the years, especially last few years. I know Carl Brooks, the defensive tackle for Green Bay, come from the MAC last year. Thomas Nkun,
I think, Max is in Crosby.
Denver. Max Crosby from Eastern Michigan. Yes.
Khalil Mack.
So, yeah. So there's been a number of really good players and stars over the years that's come from there. So don't discount them, you know, just because they're not playing in the SEC or the Big Ten or whatever. You know, they still got some pretty good athletes that can impact rosters at the next level too. Next week, we're going to do the Mountain West. Take a little ride out west, see what's going there, see who's in, who's out. All those coaching changes and player movement there. Anything, Justice, before we leave? I know you've got the G5 Hive podcast tonight.
We do. And, you know, if you're, you know, looking for some more information on defense, if we just started our Worker Bee series where we're interviewing, you know, the folks that know the G5 teams the best. We just this past Friday, we released the episode with Liberty. Prior to that, we released the episode with Hawaii. And on those interviews, we don't just talk offense. We talk about the team as a whole. We talk about offense. We talk about defense, breakout players, you know, replacing production, all those sort of things. So, you know, definitely give those a listen. And you'll hear some defensive breakout player names in those episodes as well.
Yeah, definitely check out the G5 Hive. They do such a great job. I get so focused on IDP that I can't keep up with offense sometimes. So I definitely enjoy watching y'all's podcast because it keeps me informed, right? While I'm doing my thing, it kind of keeps me informed on the other side. You guys do a great job. Go check them out at G5 Hive on Twitter. Also, go check out their YouTube page. And while you're there, you can check us out, our Devy IDP Grind YouTube page. You can follow us at Devy IDP Grind on Twitter. You can find me at Hollywood Titan. You can find Justice at Justice_2318. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, iHeartRadio, wherever. We're available just about every platform that you can find. So, you know, you can go over to idpnation.com. Put articles there. There's a section where you can donate. There's a section where you can leave us a review, a 5-star review. We put all those up. We do, and the Patreon, I guess that's our biggest thing is the Patreon. Especially if you do IDP Devy. Right now I'm in the middle of draft profiles. So I'm doing a lot of draft profiles, but I just dropped top 15 high school recruits of the 24 class and the 25 class. I'll be working on the top 15 of the 26 class pretty soon. I've got my IDP Devy rankings, which is over 300 plus players that I'm working on, getting that ready for the start of the season. Just all kinds of stuff. So go check that out. There's a lot of free stuff there. There's different tiers depending on what you want, what you need. I think Justice is going to drop some stuff there pretty soon as well. So go check that out. And then also we have a Discord, and it's a combined Discord with IDP Nation and Devy IDP Grind. So you get, it's a one-stop shop for all your IDP stuff, right? And we talk a little offense over there and wrestling and boxing and whatever. We've got some other categories, but it's a one-stop shop and, something we just started recently. It's starting to grow. So help us with that. And I was sitting here talking to Justice, and I just happened to look up, and I was like, wow, look at our viewers right now, which is, I think that's our best for us right now as we start to get this
in YouTube terms of page live, for Devy IDP Grind.
Yeah, so we want to thank you guys for tuning in, watching us. I know we started a little early this week. Usually we do Mondays at 3 o'clock, give or take a few minutes. We're usually spot on every Monday at 3 o'clock, but Justice had a little something he has to do. So we started a little earlier, but please spread the word. Help us grow. If you have any questions, we're always glad to talk shop, help out, roster moves. If there's a player you're not sure about, ask us if we've seen them. We'll be more than happy to give you our thoughts, trades, whatever it is. So, again, we thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with the Mountain West. And follow us wherever you can and help us spread the word. And we will be back next week.